A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 18th June 2024, Tuesday class. So as usual, we will be sharing our Dhamma from this book, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta commentaries by Master Shenhua. Okay, as usual, let us gather. Then we shall have the puja offerings, followed by the puja chanting. Namo Bhun Sư Sư Jīya Mōni Phō. Namo Bhun Sư Sư Jīya Mōni Phō. Namo Bhun Sư Sư Jīya Mōni Phō. Namo Quan Sư Yīn Phu Sā. Namo Quan Sư Yīn Phu Sā. Namo Quan Sư Yīn Phu Sā. Namo A Mi Tho Phō.Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Bhusyan Bhusa. Namo Bhusyan Bhusa. Namo Bhusyan Bhusa. Namo Dīshāng Wāng Bhusa. Namo Dīshāng Wāng Bhusa. Namo Dīshāng Wāng Bhusa.Namo Phổ Bồ Tát. Namo Phổ Bồ Tát. Namo Phổ Bồ Tát. Arahaṃ Samma Sambuddho Bhagavā. Buddhaṃ Bhagavantaṃ Abhivādhemi.Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami.那摩达斯巴嘎瓦多阿拉哈多萨玛萨布达斯，那摩达斯巴嘎瓦多阿拉哈多萨玛萨布达斯，那摩达斯巴嘎瓦多阿拉哈多萨玛萨布达斯。Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami,Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang GacchamiPānātipātā vairamani sikkhapadang samādhiyāmi Ādhinādhāna vairamani sikkhapadang samādhiyāmi Kāmesu micchācāra vairamani sikkhapadang samādhiyāmiMosavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Suramiraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Turn to page 3 of the chanting book. We shall continue chanting from Padipa Puja onwardsGanna sarappa dithena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang Ganna sambara yuthena dopenahang sukang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana mutamang vanna ganda kuno petang etang kesuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi betang sumena nena punena matena ce hotu mokang pupang mila yati yata idang me kayo tata yati binasa bawang adiwase tunobante paniyang parika pitang anu kampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang adiwase tunobante pale parika pitang anu kampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang adiwase tunobante bojanang parika pitang anu kampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang. Now let us do our puja chanting and make our puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses of the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offerings to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Puja. Budang Puja. Damang Puja. Sanghang Puja. Just relax body and mind, yeah? Then maintain some more attention. So as usual, we are off the light so that you can have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. This awareness-based meditation is very important. It is to enable us to train our mind to be aware within. Awareness is just a mindfulness or sati that is attentive. When you are attentive without thought, that is sati. So basically, sati is an awareness before the knowing. That one is very important. Before the thought arises, that nature within that is just aware. So awareness-based meditation is to train our mind to develop the inner awareness so that it becomes clear, it becomes stable, so that the cultivator, the form and mind, will have the understanding to remain silent without thought. If you are actively thinking, then you cannot develop the awareness within. So to be aware is just to be in the state of complete silence, tranquility, stillness, means without thought activity, without movement. So what is being recommended by me is the four support that will help you develop them. So the first support, as you all know, is relax. Just relax body and mind completely. When you can relax, there is no thought. You feel at ease, at peace, relax. Then the next thing you need to develop is to maintain the inner awareness. Just aware. Whatever arises, aware. Finish. As a human being, we have the six sense basis. We have the consciousness trapped inside. Then upon contact between the sense basis and the mind, with the respective sense-based activities, sense data, it will trigger off the respective sense basis consciousness to arise. So when that consciousness arises, you just aware. Finish. It can be tactile, or smell, or taste, or even the thought, or even the hearing, or sometimes it's the visual, the seeing. The moment the consciousness arises to make you conscious, you just aware. Finish. If possible, no need to perceive what it is too. But initially, you are so conditioned, so don't worry. Normally, the perception will follow very fast because of your conditioned thinking. Your mind has been so conditioned to react that way. But later on, when you become skillful, when you become more adept to developing this inner awareness, then you can just be aware. Finish. Whatever arises, aware. Finish. Then the third support is to stabilize this awareness. Means continue to maintain awareness until that nature within, that pure awareness nature within, become very quiet, very still, and you can develop the stability of it. So when you can have that developed, then you have progress. Means you start to understand what that true mind is, what that silent mind is, what the inner awareness nature is. So awareness-based meditation, when you understand, is actually much easier than doing all the method, technique, and whatever. You just need to relax, maintain awareness, then allow it to stabilize. then experience the thoughtless mind. Thoughtless mind means that pure nature within, which is just aware, without words, without concept, without any thought activity. Yeah. So just relax and allow the mind to settle down and sink into it. When all the conditioned thinking starts to slow down, sankhara activity starts to slow down, then all of a sudden it becomes very quiet, very still. And that is your awareness nature. When thought ceases, that nature surfaces. When thought is active, you are lost in thought. When you are lost in thought, you are preoccupied with what your thought activity is telling you and describing it to you. And sometimes, because of your habitual tendency, you tend to stir your mind, react to whatever sense experience that arises. Yeah. So all these are sankhara activity and movement. Sankhara are all your mental conditioning, belief system, mind states, mental intention, mental proliferation. All these are sankhara. Even your fear, worry, anxiety, planning, scheming, sorrow, lamentation, your phobia, all these are part of sankhara. Anything that your mundane mind can do is sankhara activity. So when sankhara ceases, that's why you can reach a state of perfect stillness, tranquility. And sometimes they call it a state of sankhara upeka, means equanimity of sankhara or mental formation. Yeah. That must happen under the state of a free mind. Yeah. Then it becomes beautiful, useful. Yeah. You must experience that. Then the last support is trust. After you can stabilize everything already, then stay at the heart area and trust that nature within to do the meditative movement, the meditative transformation, the inner activity within. So all this, as you develop them, you become more and more clear about the whole cultivation. In fact, for most people, initially the first three support is good enough. But once you can stabilize the awareness nature and move on to the fourth support, which is trust, then you will progress very fast. You will become very different. You can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay, now turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which is heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chiyokawalesu Atra gacchantu devata saddhammam muni rajasa sunantu sakkabhokkhadam Dhammasavanankalo ayang badanta. Dhammasavanankalo ayang badanta. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Ittipeso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho. Vijjācaraṇasampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhammasāraṭhi sattadeva-manussānaṁ buddho bhagavati. Svakkhāto bhagavata dhammo sandhittikho akkhalikho ehipāsekho oppanayiko pācchayatam veditabbho vinohiti. Suppatipanno bhagavato sakkhasangho ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkhasangho nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkhasangho samicchipatipanno bhagavato sakkhasangho yadidaṃ chatari purisayukkāni attapurisapugalā esa bhagavato sakkhasangho āhuneyo pāhuneyo dakkhineyo añjalikaraṇeyo anuttaraṃ puññaṃ khetaṃ lokasāti. Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, you all can be seated. And we shall continue from where we stop. So we are at this part of the commentaries. The 10 virtues do not go beyond a single thought. So this statement is very powerful. The first virtue regarding the Sammasambuddha, his lineage is honorable. Commentaries. The wisdom of the contemplation of the mind comes from seeing things as they really are. That's why in all cultivation, we need to develop the silent mind to have the ability to see things as they are, means without the thought coming in to interfere, without the conditioning from the memory, the brain, the mundane mind's activity interfering. Otherwise, you cannot see things as they are. You will see and perceive things in accordance with your views, opinion, conditioning and belief system, born of memory, born of knowledge, born of the mundane thinking and activity that you have accumulated through habitual tendency and all the heedless activity of mind. So this part is very important. The wisdom of the contemplation of the mind comes from the direct seeing. We are seeing things as they really are. So when one is born into the family of the Buddhas, one's predisposition for Buddhahood is confirmed, like predicted. Then one's basic disposition is upright and correct. That is what is meant by being of honorable lineage. I have not talked about this much before because it is not easy to understand these principles. Then the second virtue is he is of lofty position. So here it means the Buddha does not give rise to the three kinds of delusion. Delusion arising from incorrect views, means wrong views. And the delusion arising from incorrect thought, means wrong thought. And the delusion as innumerable as dust and sand in the Ganges. An alternative list of the three types of delusion is coarse delusion, subtle delusion, and delusion of ignorance. So this is the way they actually formulate the delusion. Not giving rise to these three kinds of delusion means being free of the corresponding three types of confusion. What is meant by delusion arising from incorrect views? When situation occur, one gives rise to craving. You become greedy and attached because you are confused. What is meant by delusion arising from incorrect thoughts? Confused about principle, one makes false discrimination. Ordinary people easily fall prey to this kind of delusion. What is meant by delusion as innumerable as dust and sand in the Ganges? In your mind, there are countless subtle delusions, as many as the grains of sand in the Ganges. These delusions are very fine, very subtle. Delusion arising from incorrect views are also known as coarse delusion. Delusion arising from incorrect thought are also known as subtle delusion. Delusion as innumerable as dust and sand are also known as delusion of ignorance. As the verse say, although one's genuine wisdom has yet to come forth, or has not yet come forth, one already wears the Tathagata's robe and cultivates stillness. One whose genuine wisdom has not come forth, but who never give rise to the three kinds of delusion, has already donned the Tathagata's robe and cultivated stillness. Stillness is tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind. A free mind without conditioning means your ability to stay still without thought. That is the real samadhi. Therefore, he is in lofty position. Then the third virtue is he has great wealth. From the perspective of the contemplation of the mind, great wealth referred to the three types of truths: ultimate truth, mundane truth, and the truth of the middle way, or emptiness. The provisional and the middle way. These three kinds of truth contain all merits and virtue, and are replete with the wealth of Dhamma. They are a treasury of precious things. Therefore, he has great wealth. So, I have to explain a bit here. So here, when they refer to this well, here it doesn't mean materialistic well. It means spiritual well, born of understanding, born of wisdom. So here they didn't explain that clearly. They only mentioned the three type of truth that has been realized or understood. So the first one they call it the ultimate truth. The second one they call it mundane truth. And the third one they call it the middle way, or to transcend duality, means the truth with regards to emptiness. So mundane truth can be the provisional teachings truth. Then the other one is the middle way, the ultimate truth, the middle way. So these three kinds of truth contains all merits and virtue and are replete with the well, spiritual wealth of Dhamma. But you have to understand it in a deeper manner. Because when we cultivate the Dhamma, we must develop the various type of wisdom. We normally call it the unconditioned Dhamma, means beyond the conditioned world, means when you have realized true emptiness, the unconditioned Dhamma. Then the other one is the conditioned Dhamma within the conditioned world. And for the conditioned Dhamma within the conditioned world, there can be a lot of other type of activity that intervene. So in order to really understand life completely, both mundane and the super mundane, then you have to realize the unconditioned Dhamma and the conditioned Dhamma. Then you have to transcend duality, means realize that everything within the conditioned world, they are impermanent. That's why it's not a permanent, unchanging entity. You attach and cling, one thing's your way, you suffer. Then because it's not a permanent, unchanging entity, that's why it's non-self, empty, not what you think. Empty nature of existing, where everything within the conditioned world is dependent originating Dhamma, condition arising Dhamma, causal phenomenal Dhamma. They follow the law of Paticca Samuppada, or law of dependent origination. Like the Buddha said, whatever arise, there are causes and condition behind. So without causes and condition, nothing arise within the conditional world. That's the beauty of the conditioned Dhamma. So when you understand this principle, then you penetrate the conditioned Dhamma. Then you understand life, you can live life. Then there is meaning to life. Then you can live life to the fullest. You can get to experience all of the pristine beauties and wonders of life. Then life becomes like completely different. It's no longer what normal people observe or came to understand that life is suffering, prevalence of suffering, all those things. That is the reality of life. That itself is not life. Well, that reality pertains to deluded people who don't have the understanding and the wisdom, and they get themselves entangled. And then they experience all those suffering, misery, both physical and mental sufferings. But when you have the wisdom, the understanding, when you understand life, then that part does not affect you, does not interfere. Then you only get to develop the beauty of life through the understanding, through the wisdom. Then that profound wisdom of the unconditioned will prevent you from deludedly grasping, clinging, and hold on to all the conditioned Dhamma to condition your own misery and suffering. So the unconditioned Dhamma and the conditioned Dhamma both must be realized, understood, and to enable ones to be complete in its understanding of life. Otherwise, it's not possible. Then they like to use the word ultimate truth, but basically when it comes to the Buddha Dhamma, the Buddha taught Satya, means noble truth, Arya Satya. Truth is Satya, but Arya are the enlightened beings, or they call the noble ones. They are very noble in all aspects of their life. They have great wisdom, means they have right view, right understanding of life. Then they are very noble in the way they communicate and conduct themselves. That's why they have right thought, right speech, right action, and right way of living life. Then of course they also have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path, the four right effort to constantly purify. So all these are the embodiment. Then they are ever mindful, constantly meditative. That's why their siddhi and samadhi are very stable. So these are the more relevant understanding instead of ultimate truth. It should be noble truth, truth that can enable you to become noble ones or enlightened ones. So apart from noble truth, we have our ordinary mundane truth, mundane reality. Yeah. So to understand the mundane truth and the mundane reality, we need to awaken to their unique characteristics, especially the characteristics of anicchang, dukkhang, and anatta, the universal characteristics of all phenomena. So understanding both the unconditioned Dhamma and the conditioned Dhamma, which is to realize the noble truth that can transform the form and mind into noble ones or enlightened ones, are very important, very vital. So that noble truth actually embodies both the unconditioned and the conditioned Dhamma. Yeah. So once you penetrate both, then you realize the unconditioned and the conditioned Dhamma, then you become complete. Yeah. This way of understanding is more useful, more meaningful. Yeah. Okay, we go back to the notes, the sharing. Number four, he has awe-inspiring courage. This refers to conquering craving and incorrect views with one's wisdom. While contemplating the mind, one gives rise to a wisdom that can subdue craving and incorrect view. Everyone has craving. Everyone clings to incorrect views. Without incorrect view, there is no clinging. Without clinging, there is no craving. Without craving, there is no affliction. Why do we have affliction? It's because of craving. From the attachment Based on craving, affliction arise. The wisdom from contemplation of the mind can conquer the affliction arising from craving and incorrect view. This is the explanation of awe-inspiring courage. From the perspective of the contemplation of the mind, then the question is, what is awe-inspiring courage? It is the wisdom that arises as you contemplate the mind. So the way they explain it, I think, is a bit messy, huh? not so clear. So basically, so you bring it down back a bit. Ah, okay. See, the Buddha has this awe-inspiring courage. What it means is he has this confidence, and he is very wise. They're full of understanding, full of what they call perfection and wisdom. That's why he is able to free his mind completely from delusion or ignorance. So based on the Paticca-samuppada, the 12 link, you need to start with the first thing, avijja paccaya sankhara. Dependent on avijja, ignorant, mental activity arise. So this movement is a very critical cultivation understanding. That's why the Mahayana got a very good saying. Wu ming yan xing, xing is xing yun, means activity of mind. Yeah. Then qi xing, dong nian. Once you arise the mundane thinking, it will create thought process. It will stir the thought activity and movement. Then you lost your ability to be aware. Then you cannot meditate. You cannot see things as they are. So all these are related. Avijja paccaya sankhara means the main culprit is avijja. To break free from avijja, you need wisdom. So earlier on, we heard them trying to explain the three types of delusion. Yeah. First is the view delusion, delusion of views, then delusion of thought, then delusion as enormous, as much as the sand and the what is the other one? Sand and what?
Dust.
Dust in the Ganges. So instead of breaking them into these three, which is like talking about gross defilement or gross delusion, then subtle delusion, and the balance of delusion. In fact, the main culprit is avijja, ignorant. Ignorant of what? Ignorant of the nature's law that governs life and existence. So the three types of spiritual law, you do not develop wisdom to understand them, to comprehend them, and to go beyond them, then you will be entangled. So the first type of wisdom that you need to arise is the right view with regards to the law of karma. Then law of mind. Then law of truth. That's why we have the karma niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama. So these three, once you penetrate them, your wisdom will transform. Then you are no longer deluded. Then you can understand whatever that arises within this universe. The karmic law, which is based on what he called the karmic conditioning, law of karma, moral causation. So whatever that arises within the conditioned world with regards to living being, not only human being. They are mainly thought, condition, activity via karma. That's why karma niyama play a great role. Our continuous living beings, continuous and unending birth and death, comes from this law of karma. When you fail to understand this law, you cannot break free. Then avijja will continuously haunt you. Ignorant. When there is avijja, then it conditions sankhara activity. That's why the paticca samuppada is very clear. Then sankhara activity, avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara activity will condition vijnanam or consciousness. Because when we don't have the wisdom and the understanding, when you have delusion or ignorance, what happens is you want to know, you want to understand, but you don't have the wisdom. So what you do? You thought by thinking you can develop the understanding. That's why you create thought activity, avijja paccaya sangha, dependent on ignorance or delusion. You create thought activity, and thought activity is centered at the brain there. You go to your memory, your brain, there to retrieve information or knowledge. And what happens is, when you think, you make contact with the brain. So the brain is also one of our sense bases. We call it the thought consciousness. So when you make contact, like the physics experiment, what happens is upon contact, the light bulb lights up. That lighting up process is equivalent to the thought consciousness. We become conscious of the thought process, the thinking process. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnanam. This vijnanam, initially, like the Buddha say, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. Or in the thought process, there is only the thought consciousness. Means that pure consciousness, vijnanam, without its content. But living being, because of their ignorance and delusion, they straight away condition form a mind. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnanam, the pure consciousness, then you input your content. Then it become vijnanam paccaya nama rupa, or nama rupa, the five aggregate of formula. And that is what your thought is all about. So for this to arise, dependent on this, there must be sense basis, otherwise it cannot arise. And because of sense basis, it will condition contact. That's why the whole paticca samuppada come back again. Then upon contact, like we went through the physics experiment, the thought consciousness arise. So contact appear at the first two link, avijja paccaya sankhara. That's why ignorant contact will condition delusion. It will condition the content of consciousness that has avijja. That's why moral and immoral thought. And all these are the, in the Abhidhamma, the Buddha taught, kusala and akusala, citta. Citta is consciousness or thought. We call it the thought. Kusala is wholesome. Akusala is unwholesome. Then, of course, they also have the other various type of division and categorization of what type of citta behind. Those are not so important. But if you are a cultivator, you have mindfulness and awareness, you can see all these links very clearly. And they will appear for you to see when you go through the cessation. And especially when you come out of it. Then sometimes in the midst of cultivation, when your mindfulness becomes continuous and you stabilize it, then you can see them very clearly. then every link is very clear. And sometimes you can stop there at the moment of contact. It doesn't move. That's why they say contact or pasa, pachaya, feeling, which is vedana. Not necessary one. You can stay at the contact one. Then after contact, it condition feeling. Then feeling condition craving. They say vedana paccaya tanha. No, not necessary, because the arahant or the enlightened being, their feeling are pure feeling, no delusion behind. That's why it does not condition craving. The paticca-samuppada stop there. And when you are mindful, aware with the wisdom, it can just stay there. Upon contact, before the consciousness arises, you can stay there. Then you release it, it trigger off. Then when it trigger off, before the content went in, you will also be aware. You can see all this link very clearly. That's why mindfulness is very important. Awareness is very important. Okay? So this is the part that you need to understand. Because what they describe is very messy. Not clear cut. The clear cut understanding is abhijja, the main culprit. And that is the key to cultivation. And ignorant of what? The three type of spiritual law. And from there, you develop the wisdom to enable your mundane mind to realize the wisdom and free itself, so that it does not get itself entangled anymore. But if you read the commentary, they keep on telling you craving, craving, craving. Craving is the later link. When you have avijja, then it creates sankara activity. That's why the link of craving is after feeling. So avijja paccaya sankara, sankara paccaya vijnana, vijnana paccaya namarupa. Namarupa is a five-year form, like the mental thought process or mental five aggregate. Then dependent on that, there must be sense basis salayatana. That's salayatana condition contact, because there must be contact for consciousness to arise. So all these link they will carry through. Then upon contact, of course, feeling will arise. Then when feeling arise, it will condition craving, it will be avijja. You don't have avijja, feeling remain as pure feeling. There is no movement. For the enlightened being, especially the arahants and beyond, they can stay there. No movement, nothing. And they understand all this. Well, these are all dependent originating mind state. Paticca-samuppada. So once they develop the wisdom through the direct seeing, and the silent mind observing clearly and developing the wisdom to understand all this, their mind liberates. That's why they are no longer deluded, no more ignorant, completely rooted out, especially Sakkaya Ditthi, and of course all the other that are linked to the three evil roots, they are all simultaneously rooted out too. So this is the correct way of understanding cultivation and how to understand the special ability of the Buddha, that awe-inspiring mind. Okay, so we go back. So we finish number four. So the awe-inspiring courageous mind. Then number five is his wisdom is profound. So this one is same. It's a continuation from four. That's why here they repeat it. The wisdom of all inspiring courage is not yet profound, for it is only able to conquer craving and incorrect view. Now, at the level of profound wisdom, means they are talking about the supreme vehicle cultivation. One is attuned to the middle way, which illuminates the true characteristics of all phenomena, means to transcend duality, to insight in the phenomena, to realize the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. He clearly understands what the provisional Dhamma is and what the supreme ultimate Dhamma is. Provisional wisdom and ultimate wisdom are none other than the provisional Dhamma and ultimate Dhamma respectively. A complete unhindered understanding of both is called profound wisdom. This part is correct, the last sentence. Means you have to understand both. The unhindered understanding of both the provisional Dhamma and the ultimate Dhamma. That's why they call it profound wisdom, or the supreme vehicle wisdom. Okay, move on. That's the reason why I have been explaining to you all the sainthood way, the provisional teaching. The wisdom is enough to free the mind, but they are not really deep and penetrative enough, because they didn't go through the extensive cultivation to perfect themselves, to understand all the bodhisattva way cultivation, which is very, very much more extensive and take very long, eons and eons and eons. So the provisional teaching, the sainthood way, the preliminary wisdom or provisional wisdom, they only cultivate the mindfulness until it's enough to realize the cessation of form and mind, to realize that profound understanding that the form and mind is not a permanent and changing entity. And this one is part of nature's condition, is a phenomenon, dependent originating phenomenon, karmically conditional for us to come to this existential world. So that part is, you cannot blame the Mahayana for describing it as superficial wisdom. To a very great extent, what they describe is correct. Yet that kind of wisdom is enough to liberate the mind, to end birth and death, of course. But to go further, to cultivate the bodhisattva way, to perfect yourself, to become Sammasambuddha, that cultivation, that journey is very, very extensive, very different. It's very extensive. So that is a big difference. Then we go to number six. He is advanced in years. This one also beautiful description. Since he has accumulated wholesome root for ages, means cultivating the Sammasambuddha, following the bodhisattva way. At this time, he can cultivate the contemplation that enables him to transcend the seven type of expedience, which are also known as the seven vehicles. The vehicle of the humans, the vehicle of the gods, the vehicle of the sound hearer, Savaka. Savaka are the sound hearer, the sainthood way. Then the vehicle of the Pachika Buddha. Then the vehicle of the Bodhisattva way of the Tipitaka teaching. Then the vehicle of the Bodhisattva of the interrelated teaching. Then the vehicle of the Bodhisattva of the distinct teaching. Therefore, he is advanced in years or in cultivation. So, this seven vehicle is the way they categorize the cultivation. Of course, you need to start with the vehicle of the humans, then vehicle of the gods. Gods include the Brahma world, the Deva worlds, and the Arupa, right? Then after that, you become enlightened being. Enlightened being means the sound hearer, sainthood way. Then after that, the Pacheka Buddha. Then the Bodhisattva way. The Bodhisattva way, they subdivide it into the Tipitaka teaching, follow the sutta. Then the vehicle of the interrelated teaching. Of course, this interrelated teaching, they are like more penetrative than the Tipitaka. That's why a lot of the Mahayana Sutra, they are not found in the Tipitaka of the Theravada tradition. Especially the Heart Sutra. Then we have the Surangama Sutta. Then we have the Diamond Sutta. Then of course, later, all the other more profound sutta, the Lotus Sutta, and Avatamsaka, and many other sutta. And even the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, they are very beautiful teaching. Then after the interrelated teaching, they subdivide into another one called the distinct teaching. So all these are the way they actually categorize them. Then we go to number seven. His conduct is pure. Cultivating the contemplation of the mind, one observes one's own mind nature. This is called superior concentration. Here the word, I think they use wrongly again. This English word, you have to be careful. Because samadhi is not concentration. The foremost power of samadhi, here they use the word wrongly, concentration. Never mind, I will just read through. This samadhi or concentration, which they want to use as a word, enable one to be free from karmic offense created by body, speech, and mind. Therefore, his conduct is pure. So this is the way they actually develop the explanation. But the correct word should be samadhi. Because to maintain your precept, to have pure conduct, especially body, speech, and mind, you need wisdom. Without wisdom, you cannot. Then that equanimity born of concentration is not the upekkha that the Buddha talked about, the enlightenment factor of upekkha. The enlightenment factor of upekkha comes about through wisdom. When wisdom is there, that mind develops the ability to be in the state of equanimity, upekkha. It does not get entangled. It does not stir. It does not deludedly latch onto or grasp onto all this phenomenal world of consciousness and form, the illusion created by the mundane thinking. Then cultivating the contemplation of mind, one observes one's own mind nature. And this word not easy to understand. It's not to say somebody observing. It's the awareness nature. The awareness nature is a nature inside there. Without thought, that nature can be realized. Means that the our nature, we which is the awareness nature, can be there, because you are not lost in thought. When you are lost in thought, then you didn't realize, or you cannot come to understand that there is a nature. Yeah. That's why he put here, one observe one's own mind nature. This is not the correct way of describing it. But there is nobody inside there. It's just the pure awareness. That's like cultivating the contemplation of mind. When you contemplate with that nature, in actual fact, it is to stay with that nature, to be with that awareness nature, to realize your true mind, the silent awareness within, the pure meditative mind, which is your nature. And that mind is without thought. That's why it's described as tranquil, still, then clarity, luminous. All these are words, but that nature itself, you cannot describe one. It's just like that. All these words we use is the negation. Means no thought process involved. That's why tranquility means stillness. Tranquility and stillness is to describe that state which is without thought, without sankhara. That clarity also, because there is no sankhara activity to cloud and to stir and to create emotion. That's why there is clarity. And all this, only the cultivator of the way, when you realize that true mind, the silent awareness nature, then only they can understand. Then the description become meaningful. Otherwise, you cannot understand. So the cultivation, the real cultivation, is to stay with your awareness nature. That's why the Buddha calls it sati, mindfulness. Aware. Whatever aware. Standing, the awareness nature is together with your physical body. That's why kaya nupasana. All action, all movement in the present moment. Means the awareness and the phenomena move as one. Then the other one is without a center. Means the awareness nature is no longer aware of specific phenomena. That's why I have to come up with those words. Specific phenomenal awareness. So that you can be one with the phenomena. The other one is when you're completely silent and still and go into the oneness nature. Then that is the sati or awareness nature without a center. The one that is without the center means you merge with the oneness. Your nature merge and become that thing. And that one, very few cultivators can realize that. That's why that one you have to go the Bodhisattva way until you hit the third stage of Bodhi mind development. Bodhi mind that illuminate that nature. When you can illuminate that nature, then you can be one with that nature. You can call it the oneness nature or the Buddha nature, or whatever name you want to call it. You have to be in that state to understand what that thing is. That's why your cultivation, you must move until you locate the gateway and go in and develop all the transformation until finally that nature open up, become very, very distinct, clear. Then your awareness nature illuminate itself. That's why Bodhi mind that illuminate that nature clearly, distinctly. That one is a beautiful stage. Once you hit that one, you are home. The next stage is the fourth stage of Bodhi mind development. The Bodhi mind that developed the complete wisdom to renounce samsara. By then you understand samsara is not what people think. It's no reality, but yet there is beauty in its coming. Your life can really be meaningful, wonderful. and beautiful, amazingly beautiful. So all these are the understanding. Okay, we go back. Then number eight. His courtesy is perfect. In any circumstances or situation, one behaves appropriately and observes the rule. One propriety and manner are perfect. So this one is obvious. Once you have developed the wisdom, the perfection, the understanding, and the cultivation, then you will have this type of ability, the quality. Means under any circumstances or situation, that wisdom will enable you to have that ability to live life, to understand life, and to manifest in that manner. Then number nine, he is praised by his superior. This one is obvious. Means the Buddha of all the 10 directions. If one is able to cultivate this kind of perfection or contemplation, which involves a profound faith, and also understand the true characteristics of all phenomena, all the Buddhas of the 10 directions will rejoice and praise. One. So this is called being praised by one superior. Then the last one is, he is a refuge for his subordinate, which is very true. That's why we chant, Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. If one has truly practiced the 8 group of spiritual beings, as well as the 4-fold assembly of disciples, will revert one. The previous passage of the Dharma flower or Lotus Flower Sutta said, though worshipped by God and dragon, they do not find it cause for joy. The god and dragons come to pay their respect, but it does not disturb one's mind. One's mind remains still and unmoved. This is an indication of one's power of samadhi. The word should be samadhi, not concentration. When one has power of samadhi, one can be a refuge for one's subordinate. The 8 group of spiritual beings all come to revert and make offering to him. Therefore, one is a refuge for one's subordinate. So this is how the explanation has been done by the commentary. So these are the above 10 characteristics of an elder, or the virtue and perfection of an elder, who is the Buddha actually. Here the elder means the Buddha, the metaphor for the Buddha. Okay, we stop here. We mark here. We are at page 586. Okay, we come back to our second session, which is meditation reporting followed by Q&A, question and answers, and Dhamma discussion. Whatever question regarding the meditation or application of Dhamma or Dhamma in daily life sharing, you can actually bring it up.
Good evening, Bharati. Mr. Steele and all calamitous. Sorry, my voice is not too good today.
Never mind, clear enough.
Yeah. First of all, I would like to thank Brother Teo, Sister Padmasuri, Brother and Sister Linda for having organized and also conduct a very good tour for us in Wu Tai San. I think it is very memorable for all of us. Even though I have some difficulties there, especially where language is concerned. And also partly because of my fear of being lost. It was also a very good trip for me. Actually, I'm quite surprised that I could make it through
the whole trip.
Yeah. But thanks to Mr. Er, who managed
yeah.
to get for me the medication.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it makes the trip so much
yeah.
enjoyable.
Yeah, yeah.
And at least I can enjoy all the good food.
Sadhu, sadhu.
Talking about the trip itself, mm-hmm. When we were at the Wutai San itself,
yeah.
the vibration there was actually very good pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Each temple, especially the ones where you have the resident sangha,
yeah.
Which means that they do very they have regular chanting.
Mm, mm.
The vibration is very very
yeah,
high.
Very strong.
Yeah. yeah. In fact, everywhere yeah. when we are around, as long as we are quiet.
Yeah. When you silent your mind, the nature's energy is there, very strong.
Yeah. yeah. Mm. And somehow I got the virya and the strength to climb up all the stairs.
Yeah, sadhu.
You
know,
but
yeah,
you're talking
yeah.
about like 13, 14 and
yeah,
15,000
yeah,
steps
yeah, yeah,
for
yeah.
one day.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
going up and down the stairs, you know,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
it's not that
not easy.
Easy. Yeah,
not
but
easy. Yeah.
somehow I made it except
yeah.
the last two temples, of course.
Mm-hmm.
That one is my body has reached its limit, so I decided not to stretch further
yeah,
than that.
Yeah.
Going to the Wutai San, the terrace temples,
mm.
is actually a very great experience for me, Bharatiya.
Mm, sadhu.
Especially, I mean, all the commotion where you have so many people, of course, can be quite, how to say, unsettling,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I try to keep silent,
mm.
just to pay my respects, which, you know, I fulfill my wish to pay my respects to
sadhu, sadhu.
Bodhisattva Manjushri.
Mm.
That was my main intention.
Yeah.
So,
in fact, all of us that trip cultivate a lot of affinity with Manjushri, Bodhisattva, and Kuan Yin, and all those great beings. But Manjushri is very unique there. Because everywhere you go, the temple, his nature is everywhere actually, and some of their terraces, especially Zhong Tai and Nan Tai and even Bei Tai, the nature's energy and vibration from Manjushri Bodhisattva is very exceptional, very strong, especially Zhong Tai, Bei Tai, and Nan Tai of course. The altitude is very high and it's very cold. That one, because of the strong wind and all those things, the manifestation there is different. So that one you have to stay there to meditate to in order for you to benefit from the nature there. Because the extreme wind and the cold up there is not easy. You need to stay there for a while, adjust yourself, then develop the ability to assimilate into that condition, that nature. That's why in the ancient day, a lot of these patriarchs, when they cultivate, they went to all these type of places, high altitude, very beautiful nature and vibration. They cultivate there, even Bodhidharma, and many other great Zen masters like Xu Yun and even Hui Nong, Liu Zhou, the patriarchs, they built their temple at area and altitude that are very exceptional, especially Wutai San. Now the altitude are high enough, beautiful. Then all the various terrace, you check the map that we had actually, it ranges from 2,400 meter, the lowest terrace, up to 3,100 meter, the Bei Tai or the northern terrace, that one is the highest. Then at the valley where we stay, that one is slightly lower. It's about maybe 2,000 meter like that. So that whole area is very conducive. The weather, the climate, everything is very conducive. And they also have a lot of very beautiful Kuan Yin temples, that has their vibration, their relics and their energy. Then some also because of the other great beings nature, especially Di Zhang Wang, at certain temple, Di Zhang Wang Pusa also very strong. Then of course Puxian and this Quan Xing. So Quan Xing Pusa, Puxian Pusa, Di Zhang Wang Pusa, and Wen Su Pusa. These are the four great beings that most cultivators of the way will have affinity with them. So when we are there, we really develop the affinity. Then you may not know the deep meaning and impact of this affinity until later phase of your cultivation. Because by doing all this, that's why spiritual trip has its unique way of creating affinity causes and condition. Whatever you do there with the faith, with the understanding, with the what they call the special aspiration or adhittan that you make while you are there, all this is going to help you in your cultivation. You may not know how it contributes now, but later on when it manifests, you will know. And especially those who have affinity, special affinity with all these great beings, when you are there, you will develop the kan ying. We call it kan ying. Means you detect all those things. Then you will, of course, manifest in whatever way, like a few kayamita that were those who were there and managed to develop the affinity. But in the Mahayana term, the word kanying is very important. Means you can feel their affinity, their nature, their energy, and also that it trigger off from inside your nature. It manifests. So all this can go in very deep. Then it prepare the causes and condition for cultivator of the way who has this kan ying ability to actually benefit and progress. And some is like meant to be. That's why they will join us. They will be there. Then they will develop all those manifestations. And their faith, when they come back, all different. Even like PG, despite her physical health condition not so good, and yet she find it towards the end very beautiful trip, very amazing, memorable. And a lot of us who were there, we can feel it, that I don't know how to describe to you, the ability to stay at the heart area, that nature's ability to actually manifest when you are there, and the joy that not only memorable experience, the faith, the cultivation, the joy and the manifestation that actually occur over those few days when we were there on the spiritual trip. They were exceptional, or I call it nature's occurrences, very unique. It's like very special, meant to be. And this is to give us faith, to give us confidence, so that we know when you are cultivating in accordance, correctly, following the correct teaching and the right path. All this will manifest. And it will show it to you, and you will draw from them. That's why I said their nature, they are ever radiating for the cultivator of the way. Then when we travel as a group, the collective consciousness is different. You all benefit in many ways without you knowing it. That energy that manifests the collective consciousness and the great being's nature, together with that way place, you will draw a lot. That's why while there, you may not understand much, except for some of those who were already over the years have developed the understanding, the joy, everything. That manifestation and that affinity to draw and benefit, you can never understand the beauty and greatness of all those until later on when it happened to you. And then you will understand. That's why for me, my nature, I have gone through all this for very long. That's why my nature, when it comes, I know what is important. That's how you look back, how I actually structured the whole Kayamita grouping or Kayamita shape, and how I started the sharing, the teaching, and setting up of all the Kayamita fund and doing all the wholesomeness. Then now, of course, with the website, the teaching, the books, everything, it is like meant to be, and I supposed to do all this because of causes and conditions. I was approached and requested by Maitreya mainly. And Kuan Yin, of course, is another great affinity. So all this created the movement, and everything fall into place. Like the 20-year deadline is like very clear cut now. Especially this year, a lot of things happen now. This year, a lot of things happen now. That's why I, before even my last book, which is coming out soon, before I even wrote all those things there, my nature already knew. That's why I have been hinting to you all in a lot of the sharing, especially Thursday class. Then, so happened we did the transcript, that book. I mentioned quite a lot inside there. So all these things are unfolding as per what my nature can feel and sense it coming. So this is what Dhamma is, when you have that understanding and appropriate faith and cultivation, then the affinity is very important. Affinity with great beings, with Kayamitas, with fellow Dhamma friends. All this can manifest in many beautiful, unique ways, which normal people cannot understand. And normal cultivator, the way, or the so-called Buddhist community, the way they cultivate, is very different from the way we develop it. So you go back and slowly develop the understanding of this big picture, then you will understand. It's not just a normal cultivation. This cultivation involves a lot of understanding behind that will prepare you for all your future coming. That's why this is a very unique way, especially the Bodhisattva way, the yellow card, everything. Okay, sorry, PG, you continue.
I would like to thank Bratio again to teach us the what I call the ultimate teachings, other than just the provisional teachings. It does make a lot of difference, and going this way, especially when we go on spiritual trips, we know that that's what it's all about, you know. Even though we may not have reached the stage where we can have full understanding, like people like Sister Po Cheng, Alicia, and Song, but we can still feel it.
No problem. You can sense it.
That's the way to go.
Yes, and there is this joy and faith in you. That's why I saw a lot of Kayamita developing a lot of faith. Then they felt great to be there.
despite the difficulties.
It's like you strike lottery also not so joyful and happy. To be able to be part of that journey. That's why I include the Kayanamita fund to do the wholesomeness so that all the Kayanamita that didn't go also will benefit. And all this is how it has been structured. Then when we share on the My Kayanamita WhatsApp group, when they rejoice, they also receive a lot of wholesomeness. Then those who help out in whatever way, they also benefited in many ways, especially in the organizing and all those things. Even like Song help out to be the treasurer, a lot of wholesomeness, and a lot of us also help out in many other ways, like promissory, relatively organizing, not easy, coordinating, then appointing Kayanamita to do certain duties, and especially now coming back already, we have our upcoming August retreat. So it's in motion. A lot of you all who are helping out my nature rejoice and thank you. Then also I think our October gathering of Kayanamita this year is going to be very special and unique, auspicious too. Because it fall on the actual date, 31st October. And this marked the 20th full year of my nature coming out to share. I came out in 2004, I remember. Also around year end, before the tsunami, just before the tsunami. So it would have completed the full 20 years. And it marked a lot of things that has happened. And it's like my task, more or less, things that I need to do, complete ready. The further one is the extra sharing to benefit certain Kayanamita or cultivator and other beings that has the understanding to learn more things. But basically, whatever you all need, even the Supreme Vehicle Way, is all there already, enough already. Earlier on, before 2016, before the website came out in 2017, I told you all with the Heart Sutta, the provisional teaching, whatever you need to go the sainthood way, complete already. Everything is there already. No need any more new notes or what. That's why after that, I didn't want to do anything until the Bodhisattva Way come out. Then I saw how the thing manifests. That's how the transcript book came out again. Then now, with all this sharing of the Mahayana Sutta and the Supreme Vehicle Way, the Bodhisattva Way, all this over the last, I think should be 8 years, 2016, 8 years. And within these 8 years, a lot of things has happened. Yeah, PG, sorry, continue.
Pratio, what Bolian says, I think it's very much the same for me, or I think it's even worse. You know, because I don't understand Mandarin, whenever I go into the temples, I see all the manifestation. I don't even understand. And I have to apologize, I have to ask for forgiveness from the...
But no problem, PG. Because when you are there, the most important thing is you are there. Physically there, the awareness, the faith, everything. You sometimes don't need to know the name. You will develop affinity. When you pay the respect enough already, the joy, that faith, and all those things, when you are there, you will draw on you were drawn without you knowing it. Then sometimes your nature inside you expressing that joy and allowing you to partake and draw without you knowing. That's why after that trip you all come back, you all become different. Then you don't believe me, wait till the retreat. Then you realize you have become very different. In fact, that spiritual trip, we just came back in end of May. Now it's only 2 weeks plus, about coming to 3 weeks. So by the time, I think August, end of August, another 2 months. Or in about 2 to 3 months, you will see the big difference. This retreat, a lot of you all will see the big difference. Then you realize a lot of things has become different, especially your heart area, and where your faith is developed. A lot of movement inside there, a lot of activity inside there. And that is a good sign. Then even when you sleep, your heart area there, remember to relax. The key word is relax into it. Whatever happens, just relax into it. And let the internal movement activity go by itself. Then when we are up there, because we stay at the same place, the collective consciousness, at night, relax, maintain awareness. Then even tired, need to rest and sleep, never mind. But the movement, a lot of things will happen. Because when I conduct the retreat, especially at Sampo Temple, all the great beings, nature there, very, very amazingly beautiful and fantastic. Then when you can collectively tap into it and draw from it, you become very different. And the beauty is 7 to 8 days. Last time is 8 to 9 days of full cultivation. That will transform you and bring for a lot of understanding and transformation. Especially for those who are ready to actually go into it seriously, like what happened to Pocheng after the year 2020. She determined to be serious, then MCO, but turned out blessing in disguise. Then she progressed without even going there. Then when she went there, the last 2 retreats was beautiful. A lot of things happened. So these are the things that can manifest and bring forth the transformation. That's why you all should have the faith and make the aspiration, prepare yourself so that your daily mindfulness, your stability or awareness, develop it. So by the time you are up there, when you go through the 8 days, 7 to 8 days, this time is shorter by 1 day because we had to cater for Sui An. Sui An, he's got jet lag. So we shifted the date and we cut short 1 day because according to Padmasuri, 31st is a national holiday, Merdeka. So that day, the traffic will be very bad. So we cannot extend to 31st, which is 9 days. If we come back that day, I think the traffic situation can be very, very bad. So we sacrifice 1 day. At first, we want to push it back to 21st, 1 day earlier, back to our original date. But then I felt not so good to change, because every time we change, Tang Jia, the Fa Chan Sifu, he has to go back to the committee, to get the whole approval again. So I told Padmasuri Nelmai, I said, just let things be. Meant to be, will be. So all these are very important understanding and information. That's why today you got conditioned to share all this. So make full use of this. Okay, PG, continue. You got 12 more minutes.
Pratyu, like when we go to the North Terrace.
Ah, yes.
Despite being so cold.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, like, I'm so scared of
yeah,
the cold.
Yeah, yeah.
But surprisingly, I could withstand it.
Oh,
in,
good.
Not too much fuss about it.
Ah,
you know?
Very good. Very good.
Probably because we are prepared mentally.
Yeah.
You know?
Your sadha.
Yeah, I think the sadha itself is, how to say, one of the most.
Yeah.
The key factor.
Key
itself.
Factor.
Yeah.
Because we have that one, that sadha will actually transform your heart. It will open up your heart. That faith, that spiritual faculty can allow you to receive spiritual teaching without you knowing it. I remember during the early day, 88, 89 that time, 86 onward when I cultivate full time, that sadha, then that time, everything I listen go in on. The understanding all going on. Then Dhamma is everywhere when they keep on arising. So sadha is very important. Then when you listen with faith, the faith in the Buddha, Dhamma and your teacher, very important. Then their words stand out on. Their words really go into your nature, go into your heart. Then you like can understand. Then the movement, activity, vibration inside. And during that time, I remember my heart there, very cool, very serene, very tranquil, full of energy. Then I keep on relaxing into it. That's why that time I transform very fast, I progress very fast. My nature move. And everything is like meant to be, that's why. Then it just unfold. Yeah, good, PG. Yeah, that one is good sharing. Yeah,
with the sadhya, of course, sadhya. It comes with the virya.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
With the virya, we are able to, I would say that most of us are able to, continue with the trip regardless of all the difficulties.
You no longer feel tired, very weak. No more, because that energy will drive you and sustain you. And when you are there, like, you hardly need to sleep. But the energy is so strong. Despite all the walking, do you realize or not? When you reach the hotel, of course, some of you may be very tired, but you sleep very well. Then the next day you wake up, the energy like come back to you. And you can continue and move. And when you are there, you can endure, you don't feel anything. It's like the spiritual trip was very good. Because I felt the energy so strong when I was there. But maybe this time is meant to be, because this time is the second time I went there. And I already had a lot of understanding of the area. Then before I reach, my nature here already detected. And now, compared to 10 years ago, of course, the nature inside here different again. So this time around, I realized a lot of all those beings that they draw from my nature. They draw from my nature. So all these are happening. But it keep on like, wow, that joy. Like you know, a lot of things is happening there. People are drawing from my nature and that nature's setting, the great being's nature, the vibration, all together with the relics, tranquility, stillness, everything just like fall into place. And not for a certain short period, throughout that trip, like unending of my heart here, keep on opening up, keep on like developing that movement inside there. So this is what can happen, and this is the so far the most memorable and effective spiritual trait that my nature continuously radiating non-stop for the entire trip. When I took off to the airport, let on the plane fly, then we more or less already in the plane I also detected the energy, especially when we cross over to mainland China. Yeah. I can detect already. Then immediately we land from Da Tong, that we went down to Da Tong, that Hua Yan Si. Oh, that temple is fantastic. Oh, there a lot of things happen after that. A lot of movement, a lot of activity, a lot of nature. They just keep on drawing and manifesting. That's why when you are in this spiritual field, cultivation, all this will manifest. And you will sense it, one, and you will understand it. One. And it's not written in any book. One. You cannot find one. Unless you meet up with cultivator all the way that has this nature, this ability to develop all this understanding. That's why all our last few years sharing, the last 8 years, you cannot find in book, hardly anywhere written. I have yet to read any of this. But don't worry, as you cultivate, you will understand. All this manifestation will come. Then maybe after this segmented life, the future one, all of you all will be very beautiful. Yeah, sorry PJ, take up your time again. Continue.
Yeah, Varadio. Remember we went to the Kuan Yin's temple?
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, well, in the first temple where I cried.
Ah, yes.
Varadio, I want to say it out lah. I don't want to keep this secret anymore because it is hurting me, Bertil.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, every time I cry and you ask me why I cry, you know, especially when I go to Kuan Yin Temple.
Yeah, yeah.
Before I joined the Dharma group, okay, Bertil, I somehow have an affinity with Kuan Yin.
Yeah.
So when I was working in a project in OCBC, I think, I always go to the central market,
mm-hmm.
you know, and makan and also walk around.
Mm.
They have an antique shop there.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
And I was so attracted to Kuan Yin.
Oh, sadhu.
It's a brass. It was very beautiful, but it was tarnished.
Mm.
So I somehow was so attracted to it, so I decided to buy.
Oh, sadhu.
And I told myself, if it's 300, I'll buy. Anything more, I won't buy. And I got it at that price, Bertil.
Wow, sadhu.
So I took it back. Mm. I cleaned it up. I used a lemon or whatever to wash it up.
Yeah.
But later, the tarnish came back.
Mm.
And because I placed it at the TV area, so I facing it the whole time.
Mm.
It disturbs me a lot, you know. The face is clear, but other than that, the tarnish come back very fast, the green. And at the time, I was with another group, you know, like the energy sort of group, yeah. And I approached my Guruji to ask for advice. And he says, if you feel this way, perhaps you should return it to Earth, you know.
Mm.
And one of the ways you can do is put it back to the sea, return to Earth. So I decided to do that. On the way back, to Penang, I decided to take the ferry instead of driving on the bridge.
Mm.
I wrapped it up and I asked for forgiveness and I dropped it into the sea.
Mm.
I said, may you protect the people who pass by this way.
Mm.
You know, I think because of that, it always create a lot of sadness in me.
Oh,
back
okay.
And also it's like doing the unforgivable, you know. But at that time, I'm not with the Dharma. I don't understand anything.
Yeah,
back to.
Don't worry. Yeah. These are, I should say, journey to existence. When we go through life, we are different time before the understanding come. Most people don't know what is happening to the world and life existence to them. They don't have any clear understanding. So what happened then is you can trace back to karmic past. Eh? But more important is when you understand already, past already gone, just let it be. Then move forward, understand not? Actually, next time you continue to face any of this, my advice is always remember what the Buddha said. The image, the rupang, yeah, is an object of veneration. It is for us to recall to mind their great virtue, understand not? And their great wisdom and perfection. And their nature is the one that is the real one, not the statue, understand not? But of course, when you have faith in the statue has its vibration on actually, especially metal or marble or crystal. So initially, when you are not in the spiritual field cultivating, you haven't met with people who has the ability, never mind. But that is a passing phase. A lot of people don't know what to do with statue. I heard a lot of story. After they already old, they don't want to burden their children. A lot of them send their statue off. And you look at this Kuan Yin at the back, the wooden one. The wooden one. You know where it come from? Jared brought it from Champaka. He came to my house after the statue came. Then he looked at the statue and he told me, "But I also got one statue for you." Oh, I said, "What statue is it?" "This one beautiful." He said, "Somebody don't want one." He said, he gave it to Champaka. And Champaka also nobody want. So he said, he keep it in mind so that when people have the condition to receive, he is willing to send it out. Then when he told me it's made of timber, wood, I say, "How big is it?" He said, "As big as your marble one." I say, "That one meant to be." I say, "Okay, okay." I say, "You bring." And the next day he brought on his car. And I actually carry it in, it's meant to be. Very strange, you know. Only that period, that few months, all the image come out. Before that, I only bought that small floor up there. Suino, I think. Brickfield, 1980. I brought that small marble Sakyamuni. The rest are all this, I call them good friends, or great beings. They come by themselves, no? One by one. And for me, to me, when I see all this, I pay respect. I recall to mind reverential salutation or something. It is their virtue, like the Buddha said. These are objects of veneration. You venerate them is because you call to mind their great perfection, cultivation, and wisdom. So all this understanding will generate faith. It's not so much of the image. And the reason why I allow them to come is because that time my nature knew my wisdom energy that I share at every of the class, there is nothing to retain them. That's why Thursday class Suyan there also from Sumeru, he also offered. It seems the being up there, the devas told him to offer. Then, for no reason, I was asked to go in. He said, "Bertil, the brother live." He said, "Can you come in?" I said, "I got something to show to you. And I want to offer it to you." It seems it was a message from up there. Because we were about to leave already. I said, then I said, "Ladder." I said, "Wait. I called Sri Anemi for." I say, "If I accept, I will put it in your Thursday class." He said, "Okay." Then Sui Han discussed with me for. Then without hesitation, they agree. That's how he went there. Then after that, I thought that's it now. We have my house, I don't want it. I don't need. Then suddenly, all this appear. Because it's to receive all this wisdom energy. Then Pama Suri go and buy her own. Her house also got a lot of beautiful small crystal like marble and all those things. And you got one Maitreya also timber and everything. They come by themselves. So when you have the understanding, don't worry about whether that rupang, whether it fade or it won. For me, not a problem. The uglier, the better. You know this one? This one? This one? You know from where? China. When I was at this Hansan寺, actually I saw. Very funny, isn't it? Buy. Very cheap. Renminbi, I don't know, 20 or 30. But you look at it, heavy, but it's not nice one. And you know, finally, when I started teaching, Qing Hun, the one with the daughter-in-law, they got problem. He was attracted to this. I said, you want? I offered to her. She polished it so nice. Then after that, I helped the daughter-in-law, the singer. Then he also learned some form of meditation. Then later on, we have the son, the children, all Christian. They said, but can I return to you? I said, can. I said, it's still here. I don't know who is the next owner. I give to you. Okay, you take that PJ for you.
You already
promised
me.
Oh, yeah, I forgot already.
Yeah, I
knew that. Oh, it will be good for you. Yeah. So, all these are meant to be. Yeah. That's why you give away one. This one, this one is good, very good. It is heavy enough. Then with your faith, everything, it will manifest a lot of things. But this is Amitabha, Amitabha Buddha. Okay, we better end.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Good night.
Yeah, good night. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Aka sata ca bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva cirang rakan tu loka sasana itta wata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sapa sampati sidiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo devo asat kalena sasa sampati hetu cha Vito bhavatu loko cha Raja bhavatu dhammiko Imina punyang kamina Mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yava nivana patiya Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now you all can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Thank you. Sadhu.